Welcome to the Smack Happy Design Videocast, where we explore all things web and marketing. With your hosts, Nicole and Danielle.
Hi, and welcome to the Smack Happy Videocast. This is episode number 4. And we've got an awesome guest today, Rachel. And so I think we'll start off with some intros. I'll have Danielle go first, and then Rachel, and then I'll say who I am.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I am Danielle. If you haven't listened or watched the last few episodes, I've been working with Smack Happy for about a year. I guess I dabble in a little bit of everything, but the thing I focus on the most is content development and SEO, which are two really cool things. And that's me in a nutshell. And Rachel, would you want to introduce yourself to us?
Hi, everybody. My name's Rachel Plus. I am a marketing consultant. My company is called RP Integrated Marketing. I've worked in marketing my entire career for a lot of large corporations and B2B and B2C, but what I've been enjoying the most is the last few years I've been consulting and mostly support small businesses. And really, it's just a variety of needs that they might have. And I've been able to work with Nicole in a number of those projects, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. It's been fun working with you too. So I'm Nicole Hanasek. I am the owner of Smack Happy Design, and I have been designing and coding websites for about 20 years. Can't believe it's been that long. And I've had Smack Happy Design for 9 years, and do coding and designing and usability and just managing the team.
Just around awesomeness.
Some of my teammates like me a lot. So Danielle, what did we talk about last time in our video?
Okay, so last time was a really cool topic. Last video cast, and I'm just starting to really remember to call this a video cast, not a podcast. So I'm really proud of myself. I said that first. The last topic that we went over was the harsh reality about running a business. Our special guest was from RunRight Business Consulting in San Francisco. She was quite amazing during this conversation. She had a lot to offer. We kind of talked about the myth about going into business. You know, the first thought to a lot of people think, you know, you're going to make a lot of money, have a lot of free time to do what you want, but that's not the case. So we cover all of the things, well, a lot of the things. There's probably way more we could go into. But we've covered, I guess, you know, managing a team, marketing difficulties, you know, budgets, working in versus on was a really cool thing. But in a nutshell, that's what that was. And it's a really cool little discussion that you should definitely check out if you haven't already.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
Yes.
So today, we've got a very marketing heavy group of people here. So we're going to talk about consistency in marketing and in web design and why that's important. So, ladies, why is that important?
Well, I think first of all, you have to have a brand and know what you stand for and know who you're marketing to. If you don't know those things, you're going to have a really hard time doing anything else with marketing. So that's the place that we always have to start aligning to first. And I work with clients that get that really well, but most of them are on some sort of journey where they're always still trying to figure that out and tweak it. But they should have a pretty comprehensive understanding of that and be able to talk about themselves and be able to know who they're talking to, and also have a way to represent themselves visually that that replicates all, you know, what they stand for. So I'd say that's the first piece, and then the rest can flow from there.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, talking about the journey of the different clients, you know, we've had sort of the same sort of experience, I think, and kind of the audience side of it. So a lot of the people that I think we've worked with have had a pretty decent idea of who they were. It's just kind of like, you know, sort of the technique or the way that you encourage them to figure out what they already know, you know, verbalizing it, putting into it an image, you know, the content of it. But going back to the audience part of it, we've recently been really trying to help our clients with the audience side of it. So figuring out who they're talking to and maybe why some of the things on their website don't work because they, you know, it was just kind of created in an image of like, oh, this is what I think. And this is what I would say or what I would do. So kind of changing that conversation is something that has been interesting to do with some of the clients that we've been working with. And it's really been working great. And it's really cool to see kind of how some of those things come to fruition because they completely didn't even know, you know, starting out with sort of like just a little worksheet, filling out who they think their customer is, and then, you know, kind of changing it to sending out a questionnaire and getting that feedback directly from their customers. They're like, wow, these are kind of similar or they're not. So it's been really cool to see how that's unfolded. So definitely branding for sure is a huge part of being consistent, I think.
And I think that it kind of all starts from there and sort of trickles down into every single thing you do. You know, it's all got to have a cohesive look, got to have cohesive messaging, and that messaging is kind of based on that target audience, right? Because you want to make sure that you're speaking to the right people and using the words that they use. So when you're working on your website or working on your social media or your newsletter or doing a video like this, throughout all of it, you want that to have a consistent message, right? And I think, you know, sometimes people will come to us or come to you, Rachel, because they don't have that and they need that, right? It's almost like a redesign of, you know, what you're putting out there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want them to, I think we've experienced this, Nicole, when if you try and go to your website and try and create that before you done some pre-work, you're going to have a really hard time. And inevitably, you're going to have to do that work anyway while you're creating your website, because that's really your, you know, your resume is putting yourself out there, putting yourself on, it's your public view of that anyone's going to see. So, and I think it's also important to know if your listeners are thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have budget to hire a big branding agency, or I'm not sure how to go about that process. It is really not, it is intensive, I think, and it's important, but it is not something that you have to shell out lots of dollars for. Even I think picking up the phone and calling up some of your customers, doing some interviews, calling up people who you want to be your customers, who you think are good potential customers, and speaking to them more about their needs. Really appreciating what people get out of what your company offers or what potential they could see in it. That is going to be really enlightening, because if you are the business owner, you're inevitably, you had a reason that you started it in the first place, which is core to that, but you might need to remind yourself of that as you've been mired in the day to day. So I would say that would be a huge step and wouldn't take a lot of time and would be really fulfilling to get there and starting to establish that. When it comes to the visual part and representing yourself visually, what kinds of, you know, colors and images in your logo, well, then you probably do need to turn to a designer. But again, if you can articulate to that designer everything you know about your brand, who you're talking to, what you stand for, what you offer, and that's really the last piece is what you offer in priority order, then that designer is going to have a much easier time representing you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And I'm trying to think of like, you know, some of the really big brands out there. Like if you think about Nike and like their consistency in imagery, or some like high-end jewelry places or fashion places where maybe they have like all black and white photos and they're like really artfully cropped and things like that, you know, making sure that all of your imagery is consistent it really does help solidify the brand and image that you're putting out there.
Yeah, people need to get you when they come and find you online.
Mm-hmm. And just a kind of related, but offline, you want to be consistent too. As you go and meet with people, you know, if you're always wearing a suit, then you should continue to wear a suit. You know, like your branding continues, you know, on your person as well. You want to, you know, consistently present yourself, because, you know, one of the things we wanted to mention here is about habits, right? You know, we're all creatures of habit, and, you know, we kind of thrive on the consistency and knowing what to expect. And that also kind of reaches out into, you know, so many areas of our business, in addition to just, you know, showing up the same way every time. What other ways can you bring consistency? What are some of the areas where we can, you know, help make sure that we're consistent?
I guess, so one of the thing, and there's so many things that we could talk about. I think one of the things that I think of that a lot of clients and just people in general that I've known to use any social media or blog, it's just so overwhelming. The whole process is very overwhelming, especially if you're not a writer or, you know, you're new to social media and you're just not sure how it works. I mean, there's obviously a lot of information out there. It's almost over. I mean, I just said overwhelming, but it's overwhelming to try to figure it out for yourself too. So it's always nice, like you said, Rachel, you know, just call people and start a conversation. And I think helping someone figure out a plan is probably the biggest part of, you know, activating anybody's content or, you know, trying to say things, you know, on a consistent basis, whether it's on social media, it's, you know, through a blog or, you know, you're doing something else. I don't know, you're Snapchatting. I mean, that's social media too, but I am so unfamiliar with Snapchat. I had to say that. I was really bothered with that because I've been super inconsistent trying to try that tool out. So if anyone has any tips on that, let me know. But yeah, just in general, you know, starting with a plan and, you know, calling some people that you might know to help you kind of form that plan. And then kind of taking that sort of summary, you know, to a professional, if you, you know, get some budget together or, you know, you want to find out how much this sort of thing is, it might not be as big as you think it is. It might be super easy. It's just, you know, starting that conversation about it and making a plan, I think, is the biggest part of starting to be consistent in those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think, like, to take that further, so you mean, for example, it helps you as the marketer or whoever's helping you in marketing, in addition to the people that you're communicating to know how often they might expect to hear from you.
Yes.
And I think that your readership is going to go up. For example, your open rates on an email, if you're emailing every week on the same day, mm-hmm. That's a good practice to put into place because people are expecting to hear from, they're not sitting there waiting. We're not going to kid ourselves that they're excited and, you know, are going to miss your email, but just knowing, oh, yep, here it is. I have a client I'm working with right now who, it's a nonprofit. And so every Wednesday they make it a point to, communicate something about their mission. Something educational, a story about somebody who is benefiting from the work that they do. And so that, I think, is important for those to know that that's going to come into their inbox each week. And it's, you know, same title of the email each week, but new content. And I think that's less overwhelming than if we were to bundle that up and once a month or once a quarter put all of that into one giant newsletter. Again, we all have short attention spans. So once a week, you get that. But on the other hand, from our perspective, as we're having a gazillion things going on, it's helpful to just know every Wednesday we're going to make sure we have that content ready and send that out. So it keeps us better about it too. And same thing with you know, social media, kind of committing ourselves to certain, you know, number of posts and frequency, it's important to keep that heartbeat going in social media. I tell my clients who get really overwhelmed about social media and, you know, they don't have the resources to be dedicating to, you know, having ingenious content, you know, day in, day out, multiple times a day, to be trolling responding. I'm like, just keep the heartbeat going, you know, just commit to yourself that once a week, twice a week, you're going to say something. And then once, I actually had somebody came up with a great idea, said, because I feel the content exists within my clients. I can't really be doing that for them as well as they can do it for themselves. So we dangled out, he's done this before, he's dangled out a reward and said, okay, team of small business people, you're five people, all of you are going to be posting on social media for the next 3 months. And then we're going to see whoever gets the most likes on their posts in the next 3 months gets an iPad.
Oh, that's and, clever.
Yeah, and then what happens is that all those people who are like, I don't do social media, I don't know what to say, they're suddenly motivated, and it does become part of their habits to get out there and do it regularly. So again, consistency on two sides, one being so that your team has some rigor and comfort and habits, so that you don't just let yourself go silent, but also on the end of your listeners who's hopefully seeing you out there, that they're, again, just thinking about you on a regular basis. They know that something's coming, that you're talking, that you're out there and you're available.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you put it, that it's like a heartbeat, or that you're like establishing a rhythm. And you know, they say it only takes 21 days to create a habit. So
yeah,
you know, if you can try to get it set, like put it on your calendar, you know, like same time every week to like, you know, get something going, then maybe you can, you know, start to make it a habit. And it'll start to come naturally.
I think once you get past sort of like, and this is for me in anything, once I sort of get past the intimidation factor of it, you kind of almost like tell yourself like, oh, I can't do this. This is just too much. This is overwhelming. But something that I like to do is I like to make myself uncomfortable. I like to put myself in situations where I probably wouldn't naturally want to do these things. So it's like, you know, just kind of doing the make yourself do it sort of thing. And then it sort of becomes, you know, a second nature sort of deal. So while you're, you know, establishing your cadence and posting or whatever, you start to get more comfortable with it. And then I feel like then your creative juices start going and you're like, wow, I could probably do this. I could probably say this. And it just kind of, and I mean, maybe it doesn't happen like that for some people. Maybe it's just like really not their thing and they don't want to have anything to do with it, which is fine. That's why we're here. But, you know, to me, that's how that would, that's how I relate to it. And I think you've made some great points. I have a hard time articulating these things. I'm better at writing these things. So you're right on the money, Rachel.
That's good.
On that note though, about like being afraid to start doing it, you know, the best way to get over that fear is, like you said, you know, to just do it or just try it. And if you're still like hesitant, my trick, someone told me this a long time ago, is to just start for 5 minutes, right? Just commit to doing like 5 minutes of whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And most of the time you're just going to keep going. Like you said, you know, your creative juices are going to get flowing and you'll continue on. But if you can promise yourself just 5 minutes, which isn't much, mm-hmm. right? I think that's an easy way to kind of get to dive in and convince yourself to get going.
Yeah. Rewards really do go a long way. I know, like for me personally, I'll, you know, kind of in my mind be like, all right, if I accomplish all of this by Friday, then, you know, I can take a little bit of time to myself on Friday afternoon or something like that. So I think if we dangle something out there for ourselves, or in our employees, if you're leading a business, then that goes a long way to motivating people. We are human in that way too. We're very much responsive to rewards and incentives.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I thought from a design perspective too, Nicole, you could speak to a couple things, because I'm thinking of with both social posts, but also email formats. The consistency that Smack Happy brings to those, and kind of maybe some of your best practices that you would kind of keep consistent each time that you're doing something like that, could be interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, you always want to make sure your logo is present, even if it's just like small down in the corner, or that, so I suppose like if you're posting on social media, your avatar or profile picture might also be your logo. So in a way it's also kind of covered there. But you know, use the same fonts, use similar font sizes, stick with your color scheme. You know, you should have one main color and one or two secondary colors. So, you know, be consistent with that. And like we mentioned before with the imagery, you know, whatever images you're using on your website or your packaging, use the same kind of flavor or style in your social media and in your newsletter.
Yeah, to dig a little deeper on that, there was a couple of things that popped into my head. And one of them was regarding the emails. And I don't remember the awesome woman that gave us the compliment. I don't remember her name. There was someone that we talked to who receives our emails as we send them out. And one of the things that I think in general that Smack Happy likes to portray in our branding is that we actually care about the people. We care about the success of the business. We really care about our work. We care about the quality of our work. So we're very caring people. And we love what we do, and we like to kind of exude that in everything that we say, you know, coming back to the whole branding thing, you know, establishing a voice and kind of keeping that consistent. This woman had complimented on one of our emails that was something, I don't even remember what the email was about, but it was something that was really like unrelated to having to portray this thing that we love what we do. But she was like, you know, the whole reason that I wanted to contact you and the whole reason that I felt like I needed to reach out to you was because, you know, I could tell that through your emails, you know, you always are saying the same thing. You really care about what you're saying. You know, you're really funny. You know, you do these things that, you know, kind of make me think a little bit after I'm done reading the email. So that's the sort of thing that I thought about too, like when it comes to email or anything, you know, just kind of keeping your same voice. And, you know, kind of keeping it probably all the way back to the whole point of, you know, why did you start this business in the first place? And mm-hmm. It all kind of ties back to the, like, a sort of more human touch to it. You know, you don't want to be, you know, a robotic voice, but, you know, just kind of trying to keep it natural and related to whatever you have to say to begin with. And then the other thing that I was thinking about was something that I just started really getting into with social media and the imagery of it. You know, kind of thinking of each one of your profiles being another opportunity for you to say something different, but also be relatable to your website. So if you have something promotional going on, if you're, you know, a lawyer in San Francisco and you're going to be going to a speaking engagement and you want to kind of promote that, not just through, you know, posting something, you could change the imagery temporarily on your social media. So, you know, it creates all these little doors too for you to be even more creative and get what you want to say out there in different ways as well.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that, Danielle, because there's what you were speaking to about the voice. There's a word that really resonates with me with that, and it's tone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about a little gong that, like, if you're in a room, a meeting room, and it's buzzing around and you hit this gong and this sound just projects out and it resonates throughout the room and then slowly dies down, there is a consistent tone that you should be keeping in you everything that you are writing or when you're speaking. And that tone is about the words you choose and the personality that you bring to it. That's all kind of comes out again of that initial branding kind of work that you might do about how do we talk about ourselves and what words do we say when we're talking about ourselves. And I think if you think about in terms of kind of the musical tone, to me, that's a very helpful way to think about it. Like, does this sound like me? Does this, am I keeping with the way I want to project myself? And likewise, with imagery, I also still think it's really worthwhile to do that pre-work at some point or periodically, just to maintain an image library and of the types of images, whether they be stock or photography you've taken yourselves, that kind of emanate that tone and what your business is about. And you can do that to an exhaustive process. And companies charge tens of thousands of dollars to help create that. But again, I think for most of those who are listening to this, it can really simply be, you know, a half day exercise of kind of going through what you have. Once you kind of have established what the essence of your business is, that you can kind of distill the images that either represent that they're on or off. And you could do something like you put two images side by side and say, which one's on and which one's off? Does this feel right? Does this feel wrong? And you start to narrow it down. And then if you even just have a dozen or so images, doesn't mean you use those same ones over and over again, but you have a reference point to go back to and say, wait a second, we're thinking of showing ourselves up in this way. Does this line up with what we kind of our, you know, image that we want to project out there? One more point to that I wanted to make is, I think you were also alluding to, Danielle, like we don't want to be boring either, right? We have to spice it up. And I had a client that recently, you know, was helping them with a lot of different things, but one of them was their emails. And they had this template that
I'm listening.
Yep, they use the same template every single time, where they had the same image. The template, I think, is a great idea. You know, you got an image on top, you've got some text, you've got maybe another image. They use the same exact image every time they send an email. If I was looking at that, I'd think you were sending me the same email over and over again. So we do have to change it up. It's just along the same lines.
Yeah.
Same thing over and over again.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course my dog has to be barking in the background. I guess that's just, what would you call that? A occupational hazard?
Yeah.
Is the there
and
something?
You know, it's the holidays, so Amazon Prime is at my door every 2 seconds. So it's just, again, an occupational hazard. So sorry if you hear some barking and you're not actually watching the video and getting some context in it. That's Charlie. He's saying hi.
He's got something to add.
He does. Branding is important. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, about the what you just said about being consistent. It's so important. And I guess we don't want to say that needs to be thought of as like, okay, I need to say the same thing every time. So that's a good point that you make, you know, kind of mixing it up, spicing it up. Being consistent doesn't mean you have to be boring. So that's always a good thing.
Right.
Do you need to go get the door? I think that's okay. You can hold
on. I think I do need to get the door because there's an actual person at my door that I wasn't aware was coming to my home. So I will be back in one moment.
Okay. Rachel and I'll hold it down.
Nicole, the other thing I thought you could kind of add to here, you know, I found that just in website formats, you know, they've evolved over, they're always evolving. And yeah, there's some best practices and layout, things like that. I thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about formats that, because again, with Creatures of Habit, there's formats we want to have available that the user experience is something predictable and easy for those showing up to your website. So I wonder if you had some pointers on kind of just overall layout within a website that, you know, you would stick to, or maybe that are emerging but still kind of hold to where people can feel really comfortable when they arrive there?
Yeah, consistency on your website is really important, like in your navigation and in your header. You want to make sure that that navigation is the same across every single page. So if you're in some situations, a company might actually have like two different domains, like maybe one's the store and one's the marketing website, and you want them to be kind of seamless. In those situations, especially, you want your navigation to have, you know, be in the same spot, to have all of the same words across the board. Because if a person is exploring your website and they're trying to keep track of where they are and where they've been, they need that as their, it's kind of like your compass that leads you through the experience on the website. And then on top of that, this kind of comes back to, you know, creating content and being consistent with like creating blog posts. If you're writing a blog post twice a year and a person comes to, you know, the blog area of your website and they see, oh, they were only doing this twice a year, they're obviously not very active here.
Yeah.
It kind of looks bad. So you want to be consistent with that as well. And then consistent with the way it's set up. You know, if you're going to use a featured image, then use a featured image on every blog post.
I was going to ask Rachel, what would you say, you know, to a client about that sort of thing? Because I know that there's so many people out there that feel like they need to have a blog, but
yeah,
don't write. So what would your advice be on that?
Well, I think a blog is a trigger to be forcing yourself to think about something interesting that you should be able to say, right? Mm-hmm. So I think for a lot of the clients I work with that don't have heavy website traffic, because they're small, they're growing, that the blog post itself is almost only as important as Nicole said, in that, you know, it shows if I'm there and I go and look at your blog, I see that, oh, you do have interesting things to say and that you have posted something fairly recently. Mm-hmm. You know, me 6 times a year would, you know, fall into that category. But mm-hmm. more importantly, I think it makes, again, that someone in the business sit down and think about what they have to offer that educates their potential customer, so that they have a better reason to trust you. Mm-hmm. And so when they then can give that thought, well, then it's content, which can be better used out in social media or in an e-newsletter or what have you. So I think it's more about where do they put these, where that content will end up flowing is going to probably drive more traffic to your website, but it forces it. The format of a blog post makes you think about doing some content.
Okay. Great points.
Yeah, and just a quick note on the idea of creating the content. Like, you know, Rachel mentioned six times a year, you know, every other month. That's really not a lot to ask. And I think you might need, 2 or 3 hours to do a first draft, clean it up, find a mm-hmm. picture, right? So 3 hours every other month, and you've got a blog post. Mm-hmm. If you're the business owner or you are, you know, really thick in the business and you love doing it, it should be easy to talk about that. And you can talk about like so many different aspects of your business too, right? And if you do one of those questionnaires or like ask your clients, you know, what they like about you, why they hired you, why they're working with you, that gives you tons of potential topics to write about, because these are all the things that, you know, make your business good. And these are the things that, you know, keep your clients with you. So they're obviously things that would attract new clients as well.
Yeah. The goal is establish your credibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can do that by directly talking about your business and aspects that reveal your expertise. demonstrating your expertise in what you're able to discuss in the space that you work within. And again, then once that's done, you've got a dozen social media posts that you can utilize from that. And then you can link them to your website to read more. So it's a great way to drive traffic back to your site. But also, again, establish that trust and start to nurture potential customers.
And what one thing I was thinking about before we kind of wrap up a little bit, Nicole, you always say in a lot of different conversations that we've had about, you know, like a little tip for people. Because normally when you sit down and you kind of try to make yourself write something, well, for me anyway, I'm like, okay, wait, what do I write about now? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. It's either one of two things. It just kind of comes to you and you just got to do it and get it done. Or, you know, you have these little combination of ideas. And one tip that Nicole's mentioned in the past is to kind of whip out your phone. Obviously not like while you're driving, but you know, there's sometimes when you're in the car, when you're thinking about things or you're doing something that's just has nothing to do with you really thinking about anything. And then all of a sudden you have this great idea, you know, get out your phone recorder and just talk to yourself, you know, talk out the thoughts. And I feel like I almost think this is the theory of why doctors must do this, because there has to be so many things that they need to remember, like details and things like that. And that's not so easy to completely write down, right, as you're thinking them. So I don't know, even go old school, get like a little tape recorder, and I'm sure they're not super expensive these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could challenge yourself too to, you know, the format that we see a ton of blog posts in, and I wouldn't necessarily do this every time, but, you know, here are five things that, you know, here's the best reasons why something, right? So if you can break whatever it is you're kind of thinking you want to articulate into some sections, that can be a helpful way to make it a little bit easier on you to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Nicole, one other quick thing I want to just come back to when you're talking about design of the website and where things are placed consistency-wise. What are your thoughts on mobile? Because I find a ton of consistency when I'm on my desktop and looking at websites, but I see it seem to be rather inconsistent when I'm looking at the mobile versions of the site. And I'm not sure even like the habits there completely yet to go to, like, I'm looking at just the homepage and then there's this hamburger menu somewhere and I kind of have to remind myself, oh yeah, that's where I got to look because I'm trying to get deeper into the site. So I guess what are your thoughts on where people are right now with expecting that or achieving that, and what would your tips be for mobile websites or the mobile version that comes out of the desktop version?
Mm-hmm. Well, the hamburger menu is definitely like the go-to solution for navigating on mobile, and it's so funny. Someone made a joke recently about, why is it a hamburger? Why can't we make it an ice cream cone? I guess the idea is that, you know, it's like the three lines, like a list, right? Like a list of the pages that would be on the site. So yeah, I think that's becoming like a best practice to have that type of navigation. And there's so many ways to solve having a version of your website on mobile. There have been companies, like I think earlier on, a lot of people thought that you had to create a separate website for your mobile experience. And that is absolutely not necessary, because then you have to update your content in two places. It gets really, you know, more difficult to manage and, like, you know, keeping it all consistent. So it's not really good for consistency. You know, when all you really need, you know, to get a little technical, is to have a separate style sheet. And like a style sheet is what tells the page what it should look like. So you have a style sheet for your desktop, you have a style sheet for your mobile, and a style sheet for your tablet. So all of the content on the page is all the same. It's just displayed differently depending on how large your screen is. because I've definitely seen there are situations where maybe whatever the piece of content is, like let's say you had a really large table of data, that is really hard to show on mobile. So, you know, in a case like that, you might just forego the table and say, you know, if you want to see this information, please view it on our desktop, because, you know, it's just hard to read a table on this tiny little screen.
Yeah. I've seen people use the download too. Would you say to use, you know, if it's sort of like a really technical data sheet and they don't want to forego that, would you say to use like a PDF or something? And then, you know, you can download it, zoom it in, you know, share it to wherever you need to share it to kind of get that information. I think you can print from your phone. I mean, you could always print it out, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that kind of cover what you're asking, Rachel?
Well, I wonder, do you think people are doing a good job of that, having a consistent web form? You know, are websites consistent on mobile? And I would think the answer to that is no.
Yeah, not yet.
No. And therefore, it's a little, you know, we all make do because we're all still using our phones a lot to look at websites, but, you know, we muddle through a little bit more for sure on mobile than we have to. So I think what you're saying, Nicole, is important that certainly content-wise, it should be set up in a way that it is really just a replication of what is on your, you know, you're putting it in one place, and then it updates, it produces it for mobile in the same way it would on your desktop. Mm-hmm. And then I think the hamburger menu is an important one too, to know that whatever format you're coming up with, that's kind of what you want to ensure is kind of part of that. And I guess the last thing I've been thinking about and working with you is we're pretty much always going with like a scrolling version of the website, of the homepage now, and putting, again, if you can distill those important messages about your business and those images that really speak to it, and those appear on your homepage, then that's critical, because it's where people are landing on desktop, but then on mobile, if they never leave that homepage, which is, I guess, more likely on mobile than on desktop, then they can scroll and get your main ideas right there. So I think another part about design and consistency would be to, you know, get those messages and those images right and communicated in that kind of scrolling format onto your homepage.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. So did either of you have anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, I thought maybe I'd come up with like a fun little quote towards the end, but I think if we look through this, when we're done, we could probably create about 30 different social media posts with some really cool quotes. So if someone's looking for an idea, that's what I'll end with. If someone's looking for an idea, you could always look through this podcast, video cast, or any of those sort of things, and you know, take little ideas from there. And I mean, sharing and other people's things is always great too, because then you form relationships, and you know, that's really the basis of everything, is starting a conversation. So
yeah, I was gonna say something similar that I think, well, two quick things. One is, again, if you're daunted by creating that content, you know, Nicole or Danielle, you're more of a writer, you're saying, and I'm more of a speaker. So I feel like if you're more comfortable with this format, it's a great way to get your content down, recording a conversation, and then going back into that and turning that into something you might post. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm open to conversations as well. If any of the listeners just kind of want to get a general kind of assessment of what your marketing needs might be, that's kind of what I do, is get in there and see how you can utilize resources you already have, and what else I could bring to the table, or other experts I could tap into. So feel free to give me a shout and email me at rachel@rpintegrated.com, and would love to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, we'll include Rachel's contact info in the show notes as well. So you can download that at smackhappy.com/videocast and look for the episode number 4. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Rachel, for joining us.
Yeah, it's great talking to you both.
Yeah, and I think next time we'll be talking about either social media or photography. So I haven't nailed that down yet, but it should be one of those two topics. And thank you for joining Smack Happy Videocast, where we explore all things web and marketing.
Until next time, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Smack Happy Design Videocast. For more information and downloads, visit smackhappy.com/videocast, where you'll find more episodes and the opportunity to subscribe on YouTube or iTunes. You can also sign up for our newsletter delivered to your inbox monthly. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and colleagues. Again, that's smackhappy.com/videocast. See you next time.